First of all, Hakaras HaTayv is due to the student government and the Mashkeach band for setting up such a beautiful evening for us and for everyone that's here, that's giving their guf, their neshama, to this beautiful maimed, this beautiful orientation tish. I want to share with you a thought on this week's parsha, but it's a thought that's very negeya to all of you here in yeshiva, in this particular yeshiva. And I know that you've been hearing a lot over the last 48 hours or more about all that you're expected to do here and all of the opportunities that are present here. But there is, I think, an important point that maybe needs to be mentioned. The pasuk says in the parsha, Baruch Ata Bivayecha, Ubaruch Ata Bitseisecha. You are blessed when you come in, and you are blessed when you go out. And if you look in the Targum Yonasan, he writes, Brichen Atun Bimealoichon Lebeis Medrashechon. You are blessed when you come in to the Beis Medrash. Uvrichen Atun Bimefakchon Leparkmat Techon. And you are blessed when you go out to business. You are blessed when you come into the yeshiva. Baruch ata bevayecha, uvarach ata betzeisecha, and you are blessed when you go out into the world of business. And I think that these two concepts are tolei ze bazeh. They're very interrelated. The coming into a Beis Medrash and the going out to work are very closely related. Because when a person is able to make a Seder every single day in learning, it affects directly the type of businessman he is, the type of professional he is. Everything is affected by Torah. Baruch Ata Bivayecha. You are blessed when you come in to the Beis Medrash. And that blessing of being somebody that is Yainik from Torah, somebody that is able to absorb the Ruchniyistika elements that Torah affords us, all of the beauty, the brilliance of Torah, and the Kedusha of Torah, and all of the lessons of Torah, all of that, when you take that out into the workforce, into the workplace, is affected. You're a different person. It's not that you're a person that happens to have a Seder in the morning, but you're a person that is a Ben Torah, that is doing business. But it's not that you're a businessman that happens to learn Torah. It has a direct impact on everything else that you do when you're able to be kaveh itim in Torah. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, Perakei Halacha Yud Gimel, Masa'ai umatane shel Talmud Chacham be'emes uve'amuna. When you're dealing in business with a Talmud Chacham, you know that you're going to have a trustworthy experience. You're not going to get scammed, and you're not going to be left holding the bag, and you're not going to be gypped. You're not going to be left feeling that, wow, that was a really bad experience. I never want to repeat that again. The Masa and the Matan of a Talmud Chacham, says the Rambam, if you're dealing with a Talmud Chacham in business, and he's a real Talmud Chacham, it's Be'emes Ve'amuna. It's with honesty. They're straight shooters. They're going to be extremely transparent. Oimer al lav lav, v'al hein hein. Their yes is a yes, and their no is a no. Their word is their bond. Their deal, even if it's a verbal deal, is money in the bank. Medaktik al atzmai b'cheshbon. And everything is meduktuk. There's no sketchiness. There's no trying to in any way pull the wool over somebody's eyes. How does that happen? It happens because he's a Talmud Chacham. If he's a person that's sitting and learning, it might be a first Seder, it might be a second Seder, it might be a night Seder. But if it's a person that's sitting and learning, then it has an impact on every single moment of his day. Everything else that he does is inspired and informed by the fact that he's a Ben Taira, that he's a Talmud Chacham. You can't act the same way. You can't, it's not possible if you're a real Talmud Chacham, if you're a real Ben Taira, to be a certain way in the Beis Medrash and then a totally different way when it comes to going out to the workplace. Baruch atah b'vayecha, u'baruch atah b'tzeisecha. You are blessed when you come into the Beis Medrash, but that bracha is not just contained in the Beis Medrash, it spills over into everything else that you're doing. Every single business, every single profession, every single class that you're taking, everything will be different because you're able to be kaveh itim, you're able to learn Torah. You know, there's so many stories of Gedolei Yisrael, and there are biographies written about Gedolim, and a lot of the biography is about how brilliant they are in learning, and how when they were already a young age, they already were able to master a good part of Shas and Paiskim, and we know those stories. That's the part of the books that get us depressed and that we can't really relate to. But then there's another part of the biographies, whichever biography it is, and it speaks about the midos that the Gedolim have. It speaks about the Ben Adam L'Chaveray and how ethical they were and how honest they were and that they would never do anything improper in any which way. And those are the stories that are inspiring to us, because what we could take from those stories is that if he was such a gadol and he was able to be shaped and molded by the Torah to develop such fineness, then with my learning also, I'm not holding in the brilliance of this Talmud Chacham, and I'm not able to write Svarim on who knows what, but the Torah that I'm learning on any level that it may be is going to be so impactful on everything that I do as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's hard to, you know, find a gadol in the last 100 years that was on his level, maybe 200, 300 years. People say that if Rav Moshe had lived in the times of the Chasam Sefer, who lived hundreds of years ago, he would have still been one of the Paiskei Adar, one of the Gedolei Adar. And we were zeicha to have him in our generation. I mean, he was nifter after, before you were born. I think it's safe to say everybody in the room. But I was at his levaya. I was just telling my son, I went with him today to my Rosh Hashiva's Levaya, and I'm going to speak about it another time. I don't want to, I'm still processing it, so it's I don't really want to speak about it right now. But Rav Aaron Schechter, who I learned by many, many years in Chaim Berlin. So I went to his Levaya. You could see pictures of this Levaya. It was thousands and thousands of people, you know, going down Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn. And I was telling him that it's a schus that you have to be at an Adam Gadol's Levaya. And I said, personally, I was at Rav Moshe Feinstein's Levaya, and I was at Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Levaya, and it's something, you know, you could tell your grandchildren that you were at an Adam Gadol's Levaya. In Kabbalah, it's a very big thing to be by a Levaya of an Adam Gadol. But Rav Moshe's Rebbetzin used to say that there will never be a gain like my husband again. Until Mashiach comes, it's doubtful that there's going to be another gain, a genius, like my husband. He's once in every few hundred years. But a mensch like my husband, everyone could be. Ramesha's godless in Bein Adam L'Chaveray, she says that's shayach for everybody. You don't have to be Ramesha Feinstein to be able to be a mensch. Ramesha Feinstein was the Gadol Adar, and not coincidentally, he was also the Tzaddik Adar. Those two things go together. You'll never find somebody that's really a Gadol Adar that has terrible midas. Because everything that you're doing, the Torah that you're learning, not only learning Musar, obviously Musar is a direct infusion into the blood veins of Musar, but if you're learning Kiddushin, you're learning Bava Basra, you're learning Zvachim, the fact that you're sitting learning Torah Hashem itself is mashpia on you. It has Ashba, can't not have Ashba. If you're learning properly, it has to affect you. It will affect you. It will make you a better person. I'll tell you a story. One of my favorite stories is, I'm going to tell you this one. Remendel Kaplan was one of the Gedolim. I don't know if he's as famous as the other Gedolim, perhaps, but he was a very, very interesting personality. He was a brilliant man. He was a reshiva in Philadelphia and in Skokie. He had a very unique way of looking at things. And there's a whole book, a biography about him called Rav Mendel and His Wisdom. One of the most beautiful stories in that particular book was that Rav Mendel had a car, and he lived in Philadelphia at the time, and he had a neighbor who was a not Jewish, and I think she was an Irish Catholic, you know, non-Jewish woman, and she was extremely heavy. She was very, very, you know, overweight. And she, every morning, she would go to the local diner to have a big breakfast. And she would walk there, and it would take her a long time, but she got there, and Rav Mendel was once pulling out of his house to go to yeshiva. He was probably, you know, trying to get to davening by brachas. And all of a sudden, it was a snowy day in Philadelphia. There was a lot of, like, a few inches of snow. And she was walking through the snow, Mary, and he rolls down his window of his car. In the old days, they didn't have electric windows. They had, it was like sort of like a lever or something, and you go like this, and you lower the window. And he says, "Mary, where are you going?" So she said, "Rabbi, I'm going to my diner for breakfast." He says, "Come, I'll give you a lift." She says, "No, Rabbi, you're in a rush. You go, you pray, whatever, just go, it's fine." She says, no, Mary, I insist. It's dangerous, it's slippery, and you come into my car and I'll give you a lift." This is one of the Gedolei Hadar. This is a person that knew Shas and Paiskim. And she gets into his car and he drives her a few blocks down. He drops her off at her diner, and she sits and eats there, Kesuda Shlema B'Shaita, a big, big meal. And she comes out after she finishes. And who was there but Rav Mendel? Rav Mendel was waiting there maybe an hour, maybe more. And he rolls down the window again and says, "Mary, come, I'm going to take you home." And she couldn't believe that there was somebody that cared about her, a Jewish rabbi, no less, that was one of the busiest people in Philadelphia. And he had made time to wait for her to drive her back home from her diner. And when he was nifter a few years later, she came to Menachem Avil, and she said to Rav Mendel's family that your husband and your father, he was not a human being. He was not a human being. He was an angel of God. He's an angel. Baruch atah bevayecha u'baruch atah betzeisecha. When you come into a Beis Medrash, that's great. But don't think it stops there. Don't think I check my box, I did my learning for the day, and now I go and I do my business for the day. Now I go to the operating room, or I go to the my office, my cubicle, my whatever it is that you're doing. It's directly impacted. The Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, when you go out to your business, the prakmacha is directly influenced by the Baruch Atah B'Vayecha. If you're learning right, if you're learning Lishma, learning the right Kavanis, you're learning in the right place, you're learning with the right Chavrus, with the right Rebbe, you're going to be a changed person. We know stories about regular people that, you know, they didn't learn, and then all of a sudden they started learning, whether it was Daf Yomi, or they made a Seder, they went to a Talmud Shir or whatever, and it literally changes their lives, their whole lives. They're better husbands, they're better business people, they're more ethical, they're more honest, they're nicer to their children. There's something about Torah that seeps into us that changes everything about us. We're not the same person if we're learning Torah. I wanted to say another pshat maybe in this Targum Yonis on Ben Aziel. There's a tesis, maybe somebody even mentioned it over the course of orientation. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody did. You'll tell me if they did. There's a Gemara, a tesis in Brachas in the Yud Aleph Amud Beis. It's a very well-known tesis in this yeshiva because it really is the hope and the promise of this yeshiva is this tesis. What does tesis say? Tesis says that, let's say I make a Birkas HaTorah in the morning. I have a Birkas, everyone makes a Birkas HaTorah every morning. You make a bracha on the Torah that you're going to be learning. Lasik b'divrei Seir, v'harevna. And now what happens? Now I go to work. After I learn a little bit, I go to work. Or after I have my first Seder, I go to college in the afternoon. So, and then you come to night Seder. Or you have a Seder at night after a long day of business, a long day of college, whatever it is. Do you have to make another Birchas HaTorah for night Seder? Now, if you'd ask me, I would say you should. And what would be the model of this approach? Where else do we find something similar to this? Sukkah, right? If I go into the sukkah for breakfast and I eat a nice breakfast, now I bench and I go to work or I go on a chalamayah trip and I come back later at night and I want to eat another meal, I want to eat supper in the sukkah, I got to make another Leish Shabbat sukkah. So Taisus says you should theoretically have to do that by Torah also. I should make another Birchas HaTorah for night Seder. But Taisus says you don't. You don't make another Birchas HaTorah. Why? So Taisus says as follows. Deshaini Torah. She'enei miyayish daitai. Torah is very different than Sukkah. Because I'm never miyayish das. What Taisus seems to be saying is that the sukkah is a very different model than Torah. Sukkah, when I bench and I leave the sukkah, I go to great adventure, my mind is not anymore on the sukkah. My mind is now on the roller coaster rides. I'm not thinking about the sukkah. So it's out of mind, and when I come back, I have to make a new Leish Shabbat Sukkah, because now it's like a new experience. I'm coming back into the Sukkah, and it's brand new again, and I have to make a new bracha. When it comes to Torah, Taisa says that the whole day, no matter what I'm doing, I might be going into Manhattan, I might be going to Long Island, I might be going to New Jersey, I'm going somewhere to work, or I might be going to the second floor, the third floor of Lander College, and I'm doing other things. But the whole day, my mind is really in the Beis Medrash, or should be in the Beis Medrash. You're not miyayish daitai. You don't forget about Torah. It's not a roller coaster ride work. The whole day, my mind, my subconscious, is thinking about learning. It's thinking about the Beis Medrash, thinking about going back to learning. And it's considered kama yeshev kol hayom b'lei hefsek. It's like you're sitting in the Beis Medrash the entire day without interruption. And what Taisus seems to be saying, and I'm not saying that there's no other way of learning this Taisus, there is, but on a certain level, what Taisus seems to be saying is that whatever you're doing the entire day, if the bookends of your day, if the morning and the night is in Torah, then the entire day is Torah-dik. The entire day, it's as if you're never Mesiach Das from it. And you don't have to make another Birchas HaTorah because it's like you're constantly, imagine like you're eating the whole day in the Sukkah. You never have to make another Bracha B'Leish Shabbat Sukkah. So if your mind is constantly in learning, so then you don't need to make another Birchas HaTorah because your whole day is Birchas HaTorah Dik. It's as if you're getting credit the whole day for learning. There's a model of sitting all day and learning in Kailo, which is a wonderful model. And then there's another model, and that's that certain you know, individuals and many people, and the Gemara says that this is the way that's really tried and true, that it works, is that a person learns and a person works. But when a person works, that's also considered to be like learning, says Taisus. It's like your whole day, your whole day is sitting without interruption. When you go up to Shemaim, you're going to be a Kayol guy. They're going to look at you like, wow, you mamish learned your whole life, day and night. What do you mean? No, I had a job. I had a this. I was a doctor. I was a lawyer. I was an accountant. I was a physical therapist. I was a PA. So it's a, no. But you were a Ben Taira. You are identified with Taira. Your day started and ended with Taira. You dreamt about going back someday to learn Taira the whole day. And on a legal holiday, you were learning Taira. And on Shabbos, you were learning Taira. And Yontif, you were learning Taira. You're a Ben Taira. You're a Kayol guy your whole life. Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, wrote a beautiful letter. And basically the gist of the letter was that there was a Talmud who was in medical school. It's a very long story. I don't really want to get into all the details. I knew this person. I knew the person who the letter was written to. He went to medical school in Europe, and it was very difficult for him. He was experiencing a lot of challenges. First, he learned by Rav Huttner and Chaim Berlin. He went to medical school, and he writes Rav Huttner that, you know, you encourage me to go to medical school, but I feel like I'm living a double life. I can't do this. I can't pull this off. How can you be a Ben Taira and be a doctor? A Ben Taira and be in medical school. Now, this wasn't in Lander College. He wasn't in a Lander College or in a Turo medical school. He was in, you know, some medical school in Europe somewhere. In, where was he? I think he was in Holland, if I'm not mistaken. And he was complaining to Rav Huttner. He felt that Rav Huttner sort of led him down that path. I spoke to Rav Aaron Schechter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, about this individual, and he says it wasn't so pashut, and it wasn't like that, but this is at least his perception of what the story was, and he feels like he's living a double life. So Rav Huttner writes him a letter, and he said, I would never ever tell a Talmud to live a double life. But what you're doing is not a double life. You're living a broad life. A double life, he says, implies that there's some stira between your Taira part of your day, you're being a Ben Taira, and being in the world. And that's not the way you should be looking at things. The way you should be looking at things is that you're living a broad life. You're living a life that has the Rabbeinu Shalom as its center point, and that all of the many, many points on the circumference around it are all, whatever you're doing in life, all faces in the direction of Taira. Taira inspires and informs and educates everything that you're doing. So you're living a broad life. You have to see the letter inside. It's a beautiful letter. It's a magnificent letter. But that's really the aside that I want to convey to you this evening. Because many of you have been learning in Eretz Yisrael until this point. I know not all of you, but many of you, even if you were in Eretz Yisrael, maybe you were in yeshiva in America, and many of you were learning full-time. And there's nothing like that. It's a dream to be able to have an experience of learning with no distractions, with no English, with no, you know, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're away from your family, away from a lot of the bad influences, and it's Eilam Haba. And you feel like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And now I have to come back here in America, and now it's the same, you know, and I have to wrestle with all my old demons and my Yetzaris and the old friends, the old family, and, you know, now I have to go to college, and what is this? And it's confusing for many people. I had the same experience when I came back from Eretz Yisrael. It's a very confusing time. It's like, am I doing the right thing? And the answer is that if the Rabbeinu Shalom put you in this situation, then this is you're l'chatchila, it's not a b'di'evid. If you're looking at it as like, oh no, now I have to do a double life, I have to like take away from my learning time to go to college, that's a very bad way of looking at things, because then you're going to not have Torah, not have college, you're just going to feel like frustrated. But if a person is able to understand that there is another mahalach in life, and that mahalach is that I want to live a life of ben Torah, and no matter what I do, as long as everything is coming from Torah, everything is inspired by Torah and Kedusha, then everything that you're doing will be Kedusha, will be Torah, will be holy. You know, Dr. Lander, Zecherno Levracha, who was the founder of Touro College and Lander College for Men, his vision, his dream for this place was that he always used to say, he had an expression, it's a Talmudic expression, Chulin al Tairis HaKaidesh. Chulin al Tairis HaKaidesh, technically what it means is that there are people back in the olden days that used to eat during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they eat Chulin. Even chulin that they were eating, a regular, you know, piece of chicken, they were eating it, al taras, they were keeping all of the zahiros of kaidish, as if it was hektish, as if it was kaidish, as if it was like trumas and maisris, all of that, they would eat chulin even in that way. But what he was trying to use this expression to teach is that whatever we're teaching here, even the chulin, even the secular studies is nasa al taras hakadosh. It's supposed to also be done with kedusha. It's not supposed to be that there's a stira between the morning and the afternoon. And sometimes there are. And people come to me, and if you have a problem with any of your professors and you feel that they're teaching minos, kfira, apikorsis, pritzos, whatever it is that's not part of what should be expected of a yeshiva, then you come to me, you come to the manal, and you tell us, and we will make sure that that professor is, you know, is told to not do that. And it happens once in a while. It's not a perfect system, and you know, human beings are human beings, and it's hard to always control every single course and what's being given and what's being conveyed. But on the whole, we're trying to do everything in this yeshiva al taras hakadosh. The secular studies and whatever's happening in the dormitories and whatever's happening on the basketball courts and what's ever happening on the football. Everything is supposed to be tiridic. Everything is kedushadic. It doesn't mean to say that you have to be learning all day. You don't. But whatever we're doing in this yeshiva, we're hoping, we're praying that it's going to be al taras hakadosh. And when you're able to do that, then it's baruch at b'vayecha u'baruch at b'tzeisecha. And I was thinking that maybe that the bracha, the birchas ha-tayra that you had when you came into the Beis Medrash, is baruch ha-tayra b'tzeisecha. That stays with you. That birchas ha-tayra stays with you when you go out into business also. Baruch ha-tayra b'tzeisecha. The bracha of birchas ha-tayra that you had when you came in to learn is baruch ha-tayra b'tzeisecha. You don't have to go and make another bracha when you come back to the Beis Medrash later. Because the whole day, the prakmatra is also gebenched. It's also inspired by Tayra. We have so many talmidim. I always tell people, when you're looking at a yeshiva and you're trying to decide, should I go here, should I not go there, look at the talmidim, look at the products that the yeshiva produces at the end. And we have so many. I would point out even people in this very room that are alumni, that are talmidim, that have graduated and they're doing so well and they're continuing their attachment to the yeshiva, and they're going to be learning, and they're going to be davening here, and they're going to, and at the same time, they're broadening. They're going to grad school, and they're going into business, and they're doing tremendous things. And that's what you should be. That's what we're trying to produce. We're trying to produce Talmid Chachamim, Bnei Taira, and if you're going to work or you're going into profession, you could be a tremendous Talmid Chacham, a tremendous Bnei Taira. Forever, for life. That's our dream. But I want to just tell you one more caveat. This dream happens only with one condition. And the condition is that you have to be in yeshiva. You have to stay in yeshiva. You have to have your hashpah. your yanika, you have to be able to be nourished from the yeshiva, which means you have to come to things. If you're going, it's not going to happen by osmosis. You're not, if you're staying in the dorm, you know, by night seder, and you're coming late for davening, and you're coming late for, and everything is schleppy, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It has to happen only by your tenacity, your ability to be here for everything. And I mean everything. And I'm including Shabbos. And I want to make a very big push early on that Shabbos is a very important thing on the weekly calendar of yeshiva. Not just the in Shabbosim, which are, you know, are amazing, because, you know, there's a lot of bells and whistles and excitement about it, and that as well it should. But even on a regular Shabbos, on a regular given Shabbos, which means like not this Shabbos is an in Shabbos, but then the Shabbos afterwards and the Shabbos after that, a regular Shabbos, if you can, and I'm not saying that you don't have to go home, you should go home once in a while. You can go to friends once in a while, but on the default should not be that I'm packing out, you know, I'm leaving Shabbos, that I can't, you know, I want to find anywhere else but yeshiva. That should not be the kavanah. If we could make that Shabbos in yeshiva is the place to be, that's the cool place to be, that's where I want to be. And we're going to sing zmiris, and we're going to have tishin, we're going to have beautiful davening together, and make sure that the yeshiva is, and bring your friends from other places here. The food is delicious and the davening is beautiful, but we need people that are committed to staying here. I'm not making an appeal because it's Shvach, it's a beautiful Shabbos, but I want that the new cohort of Talmidim, and you look like you're all amazing, inspired, and you're going to add so much to yeshiva, but this is one thing that I think is very critical. That you come on Shabbos, and you come, of course, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And, of course, you come to davening. And you come to the Vads on Tuesday and Wednesday night. You come to the Shmuz on Friday morning. And everything else that's given. Be a part of yeshiva. Drink it up. Chaperein. Don't think, well, you know, now I have to do this. You will have time for everything. Don't think you have to miss nights in order to study. There have been many, many people that have done everything. If you're well organized, I know a lot of you are probably worried, how am I going to juggle this whole schedule? I've been hearing all these courses and these, and I have to be sheer, and I have Talmud grade and this grade and that grade. It's impossible. You can't do it. Well, it can be done, but it can be done best if you prepare and you pace yourself properly, and you don't wait till the last minute to cram, you know, for the night before for a test. You study a little bit every single day, you chazer a little bit, and you the English, and of course the Midei Kodesh. And if you're organized and you do things well, you'll be able to matzliach in everything. You don't have to forfeit night seder, maybe before finals a little bit and midterms a little bit, but on the whole you'll be able to come to every night seder. And you'll be able to be here for first seder on the whole. And you'll be able to come to the Shmuzin and the Vadin and the Tishin and everything. Don't be miyash. Don't give up hope. And don't say that, well, I can't. You can. You can. And you must. And if you continue to really be into yeshiva, you will be matzliach beyond. When you're 30, 40, 50 years old, you'll still be a ben Torah through and through because of these years, these critical years. And these are the years that you're going to be learning how to be a ben Torah beyond. If you're able in Lander College to be able to come to davening and keep the starim and then do your work and do it well and do it ethically and honestly and a hein and a lav, then when you graduate, it's going to be a seamless transition. Whenever that day comes and you have to go to work and you have to go into your profession, you're going to be able to still keep a seder in the morning and mitzvah Hashem at night. And then you'll be able to go and do your work and it'll be good bench. You'll be all blessed from the fact that you're learning Torah. All of this is possible, but this is the training ground right now from day one. And let's hit the ground running and let's learn and let's, but with a geshmak. We're a chabura. We're one family now. And you look around the room and you might not recognize people so well. You don't know them yet. But you should make it your business to know each and every person. I'm going to make it my business, Mirtzah Hashem, over the next couple of days, weeks, to get to know each and every one of you well. We're going to meet together. We're going to schmooze together. You're going to tell me everything about yourself or as much as you want to share. And we'll get closer and we'll have a lifetime connection, relationship. That's what I want. And I hope you want it too. But please join me. Come to me. Like, introduce yourself. And I'll call you over if you don't. But still, try to come over to me and introduce yourself and let's schmooze. And just be a part of yeshiva. Don't, like, in any which way shirk your responsibilities from being yeshiva. Don't sit on the sidelines and look in and say, wow, you know, it's nice, but it's not for me. It is for you. But make it your yeshiva. Make it, become determined to be a part of yeshiva in every which way, to come to everything, to join to a leadership position or whatever position it is, but just be a part of yeshiva. Baruch atu bebayecha. You're good bench when you come in to the Beis Medrash, but it doesn't end there. Baruch atu betseisecha. Whatever else you do in life is going to be a direct consequence of the Kedusha that you've invested in the hours that you're Isaac B'Dvarim Shebekedusha.